Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. So good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today, thanks. And we want to thank you listeners for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about belief and some different applications of the term. Listen as we make a distinction between belief and faith. Belief is what gives thought the power of intention. Is this a friend or foe? In this show, Swami will explain the distinction between faith and belief. We can be shaping our reality with the thoughts we think, the beliefs we accept, the feelings we harbor, and the scenes we rehearse in our minds. Be careful what you think. How we think is what we become. Is positive thinking the best use of our minds? Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. So join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance. Get the light in your soul and harmonize with divine law. So Swami, let's talk about make-believe. I think we all as children played make-believe. So what exactly is it?
Well, I like the concept of let's play pretend. And part of what I'd like to do focus on in this show is let's pretend that the world is perfect, completely healthy, whole, harmonious, peaceful, loving, kind, eternal, and always happy. Now, let's get real. The world is broken, mostly unhealthy, fragmented, abnormal, at war, full of hate, cruelty, decaying, and unhappy. All right, so both scenarios can be imagined. Both scenarios can be thought about. Now, what if there isn't anything wrong with the world and the only thing wrong is our view of the world? Let's make believe that all that has to be done is change our thinking.
Because I was going to say, if we concentrate our thoughts on those negative aspects that you mentioned, then that's probably going to bring that into our world, right? Into our own personal lives, as opposed to if we were thinking more of the positive divine qualities, that we would be bringing those into our world, into our own realities.
Yeah, and that's what I think we want to try and unbox a little bit here, because what I'd really like to try and get at is the difference between positive thinking, which is a much more popular approach to how to shape your reality, and thinking spiritually, the role of the causal spiritual body in shaping your reality. And I'd like to discuss some of the differences, because like we had said in the opening, belief is what gives thought the power of intention. Now, is this a friend or a foe? Because a lot of the limits that we have accepted, a lot of the beliefs that we uphold as truths have become barriers. Things like a belief in sickness, a belief in poverty, a belief in lack. These are all things or ways that we go about this that belief isn't really your ally at this point. Now, of course, what we really want to drive at is the whole thing, the difference between what is real and what is a false sense of existence. And that's the whole thing of truth that you read about or they talk about in the Bible. Know the truth and the truth will set you free. Well, what is the truth? And how does this thing, belief, work? Because as we're talking about, we can believe in anything. You can believe in sickness. You can believe you're going to lose your job. You can believe you're going to get into accidents. You can believe that people get hurt. Or you can believe that life is perfect, harmonious, whole, peaceful, and well.
So, Swami, I think what you're saying is that our physical senses tell us what is real, and then we trust that. But how do we go about trusting our spiritual sense? How do we tap into that?
Right. And I think the first thing that you want to do is you want to recognize that it exists. That we're so preoccupied with the testimony from our senses and sensual perception and just the input that we get from what we call the physical world, the material, corporeal senses that we have, that we really don't have any sense of awareness of what is invisible and intangible, what's underneath what we call reality. Because remember in yoga that the formula is how we think is what we become. Now, if that's all we're doing is thinking humanly and using sensual perception and sensual awareness, we're completely disconnected from endless possibilities. We're completely disconnected from this inexhaustible resource that is available to us. And if we have attention for it, we'll actually shape our reality, because the role of spirit, the role of the causal spiritual body, the role of divine mind is that it contains the template for perfect creation. Now, we can try and do this humanly, and we can try and do it with these material means, but they're going to fall way short of the expectation that you would want that would comply with this concept in the Bible that they call perfect. And I really like the Sanskrit term for that, which is purna, which really means whole or complete. Because starting to understand yourself spiritually, starting to look to this dimension of reality that it is completely invisible to our senses. But once we have developed what's called faith, then we can start to cultivate our sensitivity and awareness to something that initially was invisible and intangible. And the way that we do that is the whole thing of cause and effect. By measuring the effects, looking by what is manifesting in the outside world. Because anything that is manifested spiritually must be good. It must have the same flavor as divine law, peace, love, happiness, harmony, completeness. And anything else was what they called a sin. It missed the mark.
So I understand that we're going to have some listeners out there that think that when they touch something and feel something, they know that to them is real. They see something, they hear something, to them that's real. So how do we make that leap? And you're talking about belief and faith. How do we make that leap to go from the material laws to the spiritual laws?
Yeah, and part of it is education, trying to educate yourself, because spiritual law says that for every action, there is an equal reaction. Material law says that for every action, there is an equal and an opposite reaction. When you're dealing with material law, you're dealing with duality. You're dealing with two opposing forces. And that's what creates this kind of battle that goes on in our inner environment, this ongoing struggle between good and evil, God and the devil, And once you start to deal with or understand unity consciousness, and you rise above duality, and you start to see things in the context of the oneness of everything, then it becomes a much more advantageous mode of operation. It's actually an upgrade. To understand yourself spiritually, there's a little bit of a learning curve. It's like learning another language, really, because you're dealing with something that is unfamiliar to the lower mind, that the higher mind only works in whole images. It's kind of like the hologram. And our senses, they can only report duality, things that are in half, that have contrast. And so letting go of the testimony of our physical senses, I think, is a big starting point. And in Kriya Yoga, we call that process pratyahara, is when the conscious mind actually starts to yield to the development of the higher mind, where we now move beyond sensual perception, sensual awareness. And we have sensitivity for this invisible, intangible resource. But because it has the template of perfect creation, there's a huge trade-off that happens here. You start to see that you're not subject to the same limits that you would be if you accept material beliefs, that it opens you up into a whole realm of eternity. And your identity now starts to assume an impersonal sense of spiritual selfhood that is invulnerable, eternal.
So the tangible aspect would be our material world, right? And then the intangible is what I think you're talking about, is the spiritual law, the spiritual aspects. I think what you're saying is we have to be able to have belief and faith in something that's intangible. We can't see our connection to spirit. We can't feel it. So how do we know we have this connection?
Yeah, that's the difference between what we call belief and faith, because you can believe in anything. But faith is actually belief in truth. It is belief in the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And of course, this is the truth that in knowing it, that's what sets you free. So knowing the truth, knowing that the real, the true sense of existence is invisible and intangible, it changes how we think.
Well, I think this is a good place to stop and hear a message from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website www.ipdtransform.com for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, before the break, you had talked about changing how we think. So let's delve into that a little bit more. And I believe in other shows you were talking about repenting. So does that also mean that that has to do with changing how we think?
Right, that's exactly. Repent in the Bible doesn't really mean let me beg for forgiveness. When it was translated from its original language, that a closer translation for that was think differently. And one of the things I kind of like is coming from a more yoga background and a more Buddhist background, there's the Buddhist chant, Om Mani Padme Hum, which translates into the jewel is in the lotus, which can be expanded into the jewel is in the mud, which really implies that the jewel, the treasure of life, isn't where you might think it is. So again, this concept of thinking differently has been suggested throughout Scripture, and it does take a little getting used to, because we are so accustomed to relying on the testimony of our senses. But when you really start to understand it, that if the causal spiritual body is the creator of reality, if spirit is cause, then the manifested world is effect. And that's one of the reasons why it's not really advantageous for us to try and fix things from the effect. Going to the cause is really optimal. Mm. And a lot of our healing modalities today are material. The whole Western medical model is material. Then, of course, there's the whole positive thinking that we were talking about in the beginning of the show, trying to do things with human thought. And we have all of our health rules, and we have all of these laws and regulations that we have accepted, but they're not optimal. That's what we've been learning, is the role of the causal spiritual body. That to think with truth as truth is to optimize your human endeavor, because it holds the template for perfect creation. And so again, how we think is what we become. But if we think with our corporeal senses, or we think with human thought, that it's more limiting. You're still working with duality, which is the realms of two forces. But if you lift consciousness into the unified state, into the invisible and the intangible, and you develop spiritual understanding, you will maximize your experience.
Well, that sounds like something that we all should be doing. So how do we go about trying to sense this connection with spirit? How do we know that we have that belief and we have that faith?
Yeah, again, working with cause and effect. But a good thing to start to work with is just what this show is about, make believe. We can believe in anything. And for most of us, seeing is believing. We rely on the thinking that carries the testimony of our senses. We believe it because we see it, and that makes sense to us. But look at where this kind of thinking gets you. Belief in a world of decay, sickness, crime, war, and death. Now here you want to try and find a different way of looking at the world and looking at life. A parallel universe that is perfect, whole, harmonious, loving, kind, eternal, unchanging, and true. And for this discussion, let's make believe that this is true, that creation is perfect and eternally blissful. That's a good exercise. That's a good place to start, is just make believe that life is perfect.
So as we're doing that, as we're making believe, do you suggest that while we're doing that, we have this visual as to what that looks like, what that world would actually look like and how it would feel?
I think having a sense of the goodness of spirit is really helpful. And, you know, like we had said, faith is belief in truth. And as the Bible tells us, truth is belief in the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. And we believe in truth not only because we know it, but because of it, we know everything else. And that's what the Bible means when it says, know the truth and the truth will set you free. See, once you have finally accepted that spirit is cause and you look away from sensual awareness and you fall away from this concept of the pleasures of the senses, and you start to look for this invisible, intangible resource. Now, at first, it's hard to sense it. But as you refine yourself and you have attention for it, you start to see that it is something that's pure, it's powerful, it's sacred, and it's never going to let you down. That's where you can start to rely on it. You can turn to it in times of trouble, in times of challenge. And you want to usher that in, I want to say, at your own level of understanding, that you don't want to do this because you heard it in a radio show. You really want to start to acknowledge the presence of divine law. You want to feel the presence of divine love, the light of eternal life, the life force that is readily available to each and every one of us, that is actually right now supporting our lives. Because as you start to develop faith in that, then you can start to call upon it. But it's just kind of like, it's like when you first dig a well, the more water you draw out of it, it continues to fill up. That you don't want it to just, you don't want to just dig the well and then let it just sit there. You want to start to use it.
So what you're talking about is actually very different from what you said earlier about positive thinking, visualization, and then, you know, you hear people talking about, well, you know, just change your attitude about it. You know, have a positive attitude, have a grateful attitude. And some people are using these things along with positive thinking and visualization, you know, to try to make these, to make these changes, to make their world a better place to live, and really not doing what you're saying that we should be doing.
Right. And the whole concept of change, anything can change your life. And you can change it for what you consider to be better. You can be in a false sense of existence and have a pretty acceptable condition that you're living in. You could also be in a false sense of existence and not acknowledge the presence of goodness that's going on in your life. But there's a big difference between change, and the term that we use is transform. Because anything can change your life laterally, but only one thing can transform it. There's only one thing that can turn us from material beliefs to spiritual understanding, and that is to have this relationship with this invisible and intangible resource. It's the only thing. There's only one truth. There's only one God. There's only one religion. There's only one yoga. And there's really only one number one need. And once you rely on that totally and you have faith in it, then you can start to see, because the benefit of understanding yourself spiritually is that it makes life perfect. To understand life spiritually requires a different way of thinking. Thinking with the higher mind and not the lower mind. Thinking with truth as truth. Moving out of the many and into the one.
So, Swami, you're always saying that we are already perfect spiritual beings because we are made in God's likeness. So we're going to have people out there that may think, well, if that's true, then why is my life where it is? What's my situation? So are we really truly perfect spiritual beings?
Well, to answer your question, the answer is yes, that this concept of God is everywhere and in everything. But we don't all have attention for it. That's the gesture of namaste. I bow to the divinity within you. However, it really comes down to whatever it is that we accept as real that's going to determine our outcome. Because whatever it is that we acknowledge, whatever it is that we believe in, is what we create from. So if you believe in matter, you will create from particles, which are dualistic and limited. If you believe in thoughts, we'll still be drawing from duality, which is, again, fear and limitation, and your outcome will be limited. But if you believe in the indivisible unified state, if you believe in unity consciousness, the one resource where everything is whole, then that is where you will start to usher in perfect creation. And so thinking differently is really to your advantage, and understanding yourself spiritually is optimal.
All right, well, I guess that's a great place to start ending our program for this morning. So in closing, I'd like to invite you listeners out there to visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com. So once you're there, you can make comments about this show. There's also many tools on that website that you can click on for your learning experiences. Be sure to tune in next week. We are going to be discussing artificial intelligence versus divine mind. And also be sure to listen to our weekly Facebook Live episodes that we do every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. So, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts or comments about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to develop a clear understanding of a distinction between belief and faith, and how this concept of faith opens us up to being in harmony with divine law. And as Bernard Shaw said, we have not lost faith in God. We have transferred it to the medical profession. Remember, we can believe in technology, but it's not backed by truth. So it doesn't really enable us to have faith in technology or Western science. To unlock the power of the Almighty, we must believe in divine law, and you can't just give it the glad hand. Trust in spirit puts you in harmony with the will of the divine, which has miraculous effect on what we call real. So I would encourage all of you to try it. Turn your belief into the truth that makes you free. And with that, I'd like to wish everybody a good day. Namaste. And I look forward to next week's show as we discuss the difference between artificial intelligence and the divine mind.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.